Renaissance. Can you tell what I just saw? Hi, it's Yvonne. Welcome back to Coffee with Yvonne, the show for creatives and entrepreneurs. You guys, I just saw the Renaissance movie. It's right now 12:45 in the morning on Friday, December 1st. I went to the Thursday showing at 8 o'clock p.m. and just got home not too long ago. And I just could not wait. I couldn't wait to share my thoughts. So I hopped on the mic. It's super late. I keep forgetting I got, you know, still log in for work tomorrow. But we're going to talk about first reactions to the Renaissance film movie before everyone. I hope you got your tickets because it's going to be sold out. Gets a chance to share their thoughts on social media. So grab your coffee and let's chat. Okay, first up, to set the stage, I did go to the Renaissance World Tour. In fact, I am currently wearing one of the tour t-shirts that I wore to the movie tonight. So I'm still fully dressed. So I'm very much still in the energy that the movie presented. But as someone who went to the concert and now saw the film, I have to say I was very much anticipating a continuation of You Are the Visuals, Honey, in terms of the experience. So for those who went to the concert, as you know, we were immersed in a setting of chrome and silver and creativity and NIG. Everybody on mute. But if you were there, you were able to feed that from the people who were in the audience next to you from all different walks of life. The movie, however, takes that energy and gives you more of a first-person perspective. You not only hear the music from the movie, because I'm going to try not to spoil it as much as possible, but you not only hear the music from the movie, but you see the details. And as a creative, someone who's been in her field for over 10 years now, as a creative, for me, when I go to different shows or activations, I'm always looking at the details. And Beyoncé gives us a behind the scenes look at the details that it took to pull this tour off that was 4 years in the making to bring it to life. What I really loved is too, that is someone who is always recognizing those in her circle for their contributions of where she is today. She didn't make the focal point of the film about her. She focused on the people who, through their hard work and dedication, brought her ideas to life. And when you're watching the movie, there's so many shots that are zooming in to see the details of the costumes, to see, you know, the amount of work it takes behind the scenes from the rigging to the stage setup. And I just really enjoy the thought process behind it. Moving on to the actual storytelling. One thing Beyoncé is really great at doing, phenomenal at doing, is telling the story. And as a creative, I know there's always a method to the madness, right? You may not understand where we're going at first, but when you start seeing everything laid out and how the dots connect, you then get why we were so persistent of wanting it that way or wanting to see it come to life in a particular style or fashion. And what Beyoncé does is she really takes us on the journey of how she selected the music, down to her personal challenges with dealing with when she had knee surgery, all the way down to her journey as a mother in allowing for her daughter to have her own renaissance and freedom of self-expression on stage when she, Blue Ivy Carter, if you don't know, performed next to her mom for the first time ever in front of, I think it was 70,000 people. And through her work ethic, found the strength and the courage to keep going despite the negative comments that she saw on social media of others criticizing her dancing abilities. What I love about the queen is you can tell that her circle is the inspiration for why she works so hard. And as someone who gets it, you know, like for example, right now it's 12:50 in the morning. I should be asleep. But because of my dedication to my work, I am on this podcast talking to all of you, wherever you are in the world, to share my thoughts about this movie. And to give you an idea of the method of my madness, I had this planned out weeks ago that I would do this, that I would do a bonus episode around the Renaissance movie. So when I'm watching her and the sacrifices that she has made, you know, as someone who followed Destiny's Child when I was very young up until now, seeing that growth in her career, I get it. I get the tug of being who you are every day and trying to show for your family, but also the tug of wanting to be great. And that greatness shows up in everything that she does. It shows up in the details of the costumes, the work ethic of the dancers, the stagehands, everyone. There's a piece of her in every single part of this tour. When you go to the movie to take it all the way back, when you first walk in, especially with it being night one, there is an air of excitement that you experience. You know, my mom, she did not go to the concert. She lived vicariously through me and my content. She was able to see through this movie and also through the interactions with the audience, the joy and excitement and admiration that we have for this phenomenal creative. And as someone who, my mom, who I'm speaking about, came up in that era of the Michael Jacksons, of the Princes, of the Donnas, of the Tinas, you know, I think it gave her joy to see that that amount of work ethic and creativity still exists. It's still prevalent. Especially now, no shade to these new performers. The amount of thought going into the work that's being produced now, I would say maybe 15% of mainstream industry performers are doing that work. One in particular, I would say, is Victoria Monet. Kills it every single time for me. Been a fan since her pre-Jaguar days. And to see my mom be able to experience the Renaissance movie and also see in real time my re-reaction to the songs and the performances, I think gave her joy because, you know, my mom understands how much I love Beyonce. She's never been a big Beyonce fan, but she respects the work ethic. But I think with this movie, she was even amazed and in awe at what it took to pull something like this off. Her favorite part of the show, I would have to say probably, were the visuals with the digital screen. How Rain would come out in, like, you know, the prancing motion. I don't know what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. Like that prancing motion. She loved seeing, you know, like the chrome, you know, of the screen, of how her body went from her Beyonce to like chrome. She loved seeing the different transitions and how smooth they were. And for her as a creative as well, she got it too. She understood the tug that Beyonce deals with dropping her kids literally off to school every morning, but still showing up as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, and also struggling with this idea of perfectionism. And that was a key thread throughout the movie. It was letting go of having to be perfect. And as someone who struggles with perfectionism, I really do. And I try every single day to find the joy in my mistakes. But as someone who struggles with perfectionism, you know firsthand how much is at risk whenever you put your name on something. You want to make sure that it is done right. And in that struggle, sometimes you hold on to projects or things that you have in your head because you're afraid that it won't live up to your standards. And sometimes you have to let go of that idea that your standards are, can be too high even for your own self. So Renaissance, another theme that I saw was this idea of letting go of the idea of being perfect, embracing your flaws, embracing the growth it takes to embrace those flaws, and also the beauty in getting older. Beyonce and I are close in age. She could be my big sister. She's 42. I'm 36. So like I mentioned before, I have seen that transition of Beyonce from a teenager to a fully grown woman, because I have also gone on that same journey. When I was again introduced to Beyonce was through Destiny's Child. Actually, further back, Destiny's Child, when they were on Smart Guy for that special episode, I have been in it since their No 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 days. And I have, through her music, grown up as well and embraced my personal changes. I've embraced how sometimes you just don't give a fuck. And it's okay. It's okay not to anymore. It's okay to let go of what people think about you and just say, I know I'm that girl. And if you can't deal with the fact that I'm that girl, that is your personal problem. Another thing I loved was how we spotlighted, like I was in the movie, how she spotlighted ballroom culture, and more specifically, Black ballroom culture. Her Uncle Johnny, who inspired this album, Renaissance, was a Black gay man. But as Mama Tina said it, love me some Mama Tina. As Mama Tina said it, he was a Black gay man during the 50s, at a time period in which that was not considered okay. And you had to hide who you were to make others feel uncomfortable. And it was unfortunate that he could not live out loud and live his truth, but he found another way of self-expression through designing clothes. But he also shared his passion for ballroom culture with Mama Tina's children, Beyonce and Solange. And through that influence, Beyonce was introduced to ballroom culture. And for those who may not understand ballroom culture, I really would love for you to take a deep dive. An easy way to do it would be to watch the show Pose that was on FX. Phenomenal show. Multi-layered characters and multi-layered storytelling. But ballroom culture, for the longest time, has been utilized for pop culture purposes, but removing those who were the inspiration behind those pop cultural references. A lot of things that we do to this day, like saying shade, you know, no shade, tea, the way, you know, snapping your fingers or going, yes, those things come from different spaces and they're interwoven through the LGBTQIA plus community and also ballroom culture. And Beyonce recognizes that in the movie. And when she highlights Uncle Johnny, she highlights people like T.S. Madison. She highlights her dancers who, some of them were pulled from ballroom culture, like Honey Balenciaga. And she gives them their flowers as they deserve. Because what we do sometimes is the culture, and I'm speaking as a Black woman, what we do sometimes is the culture. We love to erase to make others feel comfortable. And sometimes there's comfort in being uncomfortable. And this film allows us to sit in that for the 2 hours and 48 minutes that we are in this movie and immerse in this storytelling with Beyonce. She makes us sit in the realization that you cannot erase people because they don't fit your narrative. You cannot push people out because they are different than what your personal ideas are. And the whole theme of Renaissance is self-expression and self-acceptance. And you can't accept one, but ignore the other. What I love is too that even during the show, because I went to the concert, but again in the movie, there's a segment in which ballroom is highlighted. And not just on stage, but behind the scenes, showing those who were the trailblazers of, you know, the ballroom culture scene. And also showing the work that also goes into these moves that look death defying and easy to do, but are very, requires a lot of technique. Another thing I loved about the movie is Beyonce emphasizing the sense of community. During the pandemic, a lot of us were alone and we dealt with a world that was shut down and we lacked, you know, human connection. And what this tour did, it reconnected us together through through music. And music seems to be a thread that connects people no matter where you are and no matter what your beliefs are. And this tour allowed for us to be back outside, because you said you was outside, but you wasn't that outside. But it allowed us to be outside once again, to enjoy one another, to experience life again. And the energy was felt through the screen in the theater. We were all, you know, keeping it cute at first because we didn't want to be those people. But then after a while, you heard a couple yes in the background, like, mm-hmm, or you better work. And people began to open up. And then that theater full of maybe 25 people connected. People who didn't even talk to each other when we walked in. We all just sat down and ate our food. Well, I couldn't eat the food because I can't have popcorn or sticky candy due to braces. But we all sat down and ate our food and prepared to just enjoy a movie. But at the end of this movie, which I'll give a bit more of that later, at the end of this movie, we were talking together. We were dancing in the aisles. We were, you know, enjoying each other's companies. We were clacking our fans because, yes, we brought our fans too. Because how are we going to have heated and not clack these fans? You know, it was a great experience. And it is a talent to be able to connect people not only in person, but in the theater experience as well. So I give kudos to Beyoncé for that. I did love Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy, we know baby Blue Blue since she came out her mama's womb. We have seen her begin growing up in front of our eyes. And Beyoncé showed earlier footage of when she was a baby to now. And it just blows your mind how this little person went from being in her mama's belly to dancing beside her on stage. But one thing about baby Blue Blue, she is resilient like her mom. She is a student in her work. They show clips of her at the planning meetings with her mom, taking notes as well, and giving her mama actual feedback about letting some stuff go at the risk of not getting a part of that project done. It's just amazing to see how someone as young as Blue gets it already and understands that her mother's hard work is the reason for her success and is the reason why Blue has the opportunity to be just as successful if she chooses to be in this industry. And another thing I loved was seeing how Blue grew in her confidence. It was mentioned during the movie, I think by Jay-Z, that, you know, she didn't ask for the spotlight. She didn't ask to have two very famous parents. And knowing that the internet likes the internet likes the internet, and y'all like to tussle in these comments, this child has been under scrutiny since the day she was born. And going from that kind of scrutiny, from the time you have entered this earth, to making a choice, with your mom and dad's permission, of course, but making a choice to get up on the stage in front of 70,000 people and dance, that's a lot. And then to learn about the comments that were made about you, but then to go back and work even harder and get better and better and more confident, and to see that change in her. From each performance, they show that transition, and you saw the hunger and the drive grow in her. It was a proud internet auntie moment for me, for sure. Finally, I know I mentioned this before, but Mama Tina, I don't think we give Mama Tina her flowers enough. I know a lot of us follow her on social media, but Mama Tina really is, outside of her husband, Beyoncé's safe space, because she gets her on a level we will never understand. She gave her life. You know, she was there every single step of the way. And as someone who also has a mom who has been there every step of the way and has seen the growth and evolution, I can only imagine how proud Mama Tina is, but I can only imagine how hard it is for Mama Tina to see her child struggle. And there was a conversation where Beyoncé alluded to that, but she never went into detail, but Mama Tina knew exactly what she was talking about. And as a mother, for her, seeing your child go from dancing in your living room to being on this worldwide stage, it has to be a lot to handle. And you have to develop thick skin, thicker than your child's, because you are your child's first source of protection, right? Beyonce is a grown woman, but she still needs her mama. And knowing that Mama Tina was at every single stop with her, that she was there as her daughter's right hand, in a sense, and comfort, you know, it was good to see, because it always shows us that we still need our parents. No matter how grown we are, no matter how independent we think we are, we still need our parents or the support system who raised us in different shapes and forms. And those relationships, while they evolve, they're still very important, because it allows for us to have that vulnerability and to be truthful in spaces where we have to censor ourselves. For example, I was on the phone with my mom the other day, hopping mad because there was a conversation. I won't go more into detail, but it made me question how hard I was working, if I was doing a good job. And I had to remind myself, you know, I'm that girl. I work hard. I grind till I own it, you know, and I give 110% every single time. And to have that question, it hurt and it was hard. And I had to have that moment and that space to talk to my mom and be very, very transparent. You know, I, out of respect, I don't cuss around my mother, but I had to let it out. And I was very frustrated and I was confused about what I did wrong. And I started beating myself up. And looking at that movie, I saw a piece of myself in Beyonce. I understood where she was coming from, of, you constantly are driving and going and doing and showing up and thinking and leading and putting pieces together and breaking things down and delegating and still trying to be a good friend, a good, you know, a good wife, mother, significant other, whatever. You're trying so many ways to show up. And sometimes you just hit a wall. And when you hit that wall and you're still pushing through and you're still showing up and someone questions the quality of work that you're doing, it makes you go, what the hell was that? Like, I've been giving everything I can. I barely have anything left to give anymore. And you're telling me it's not good enough? Like, those are the frustrating moments creatives need a safe space to talk to someone to. And a lot of times it's our parents. It's our parents, because our parents have seen us evolve in our craft and have seen us put in the time and dedication to get it done. So Mama Tina for me was just a great way to bring in more of that humanity to the movie that was felt in the overall theme. Of course, the energy from the movie was beyond, but the storytelling and what Beyonce did with Renaissance was phenomenal. Please do, when you go see the movie, stay for the credits. I'm not going to give it away, but stay for the credits. And stay for about 10 minutes. You will be rewarded for your patience, I promise you. Overall, I thoroughly enjoy the Beyonce Renaissance movie. I almost cried a couple times, getting emotional, thinking about the connection between myself and this amazing creative artist who has changed the game in so many ways, and the similarities with my journey and my work ethic. And I think any creative who goes to see that movie will be inspired and will come out of there releasing their wiggle, you know, releasing the strain and finding the joy and the energy to keep going. So I hope you enjoy the movie. I'm going again on Sunday Funday with my family. And I can't wait to chat with you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode. I don't know if I'm going to edit this one, you guys. I think I'm just going to put it out there and see what happens, because perfectionism, I got to let go of that. But if you want to learn more about me and my business, please visit, I'm tired, y'all. Please visit pinkdollhousemarketing.com. You can also slide into my DMs, that's cool, on Instagram at pinkdollhousemarketing. To find my personal page on Instagram, go to at pinkdollstyle, or you can find me on TikTok at pinkycreates. And I know I said this already, but I will chat with you soon, and enjoy your own personal renaissance. Okay, bye. Coffee with Yvonne is produced and edited by Yvonne Pearson. Coffee with Yvonne is created by Pink Doll House Marketing. You can catch the latest episodes by subscribing to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.